Jim Cricker and I are kindred spirits, and he asked me, I'm going to read a poem on cats that is dedicated to Jim Cricker.
And all of the cat lovers as well, I guess.
Yes. On cats. Cats curl into commas, their fuzz rippling in a shiver of pleasure. My cat lopes, paws tucked under her cinnamon swirl coat. And sometimes when the rain fills my boots and my ponytail messy sticks to my face, I envy the creature who purrs contentedly like the static on a solar-powered radio blazing on my warm duvet. In Florence, locals tell you that if you ever become lost, look up. The Duomo, its ancient tower, will be your guide. My cat waits by the window, curtains parted so she can spy on robins and swallowtail butterflies. I turn in the direction of home, the cat, my beacon.
Oh.
That was so cute. Thanks, Haley. So next can we have Sue Blue. Woo-hoo.
Thanks a million. Some of you might have, or you might have come across the, what's it called, the Good News Cork magazine?
Good Day News.
Good Day News Cork magazine, yeah. So this poem actually was published in it, and the poem happened as part of the Many Tongues of Cork events. The first one, I think, that Joanna launched a while ago in March there. And I wrote this inspired by that event. It was a beautiful, like Many Tongues of Cork brings together poets from who live in Cork from various different countries and cultures and allows for the different languages to really take place and to really kind of exchange with each other on the night. So, this happened then. And the spark jumped. Gathering on the ground in all our shades of pink and brown, we are earthed and level, sitting humbled to the bare soul. We have come from all directions, the four corners of the world and more, connected by the power of language. Feelings transfer through sound, if even mystical, as we share prayer as poetry, no matter the tongue. Translations transfer ideas between the words and within structures, the grammar that holds each and all of Babylon, binds our building, our temples, keeping the lines of time filled with the bricks of sound we call words. We are making humble prayers for the earth. Transforming emotion, transcending understanding, we're taking down walls, opening minds, and spreading our wings in the winds of history. We are here and we are now, together in one room, one space, one city, sparing the word, the script, bonding across the gaps of culture, to where we buzz with unlocked hearts, sitting all equal, listening with equal ears, feeling with equal touch, connected to hear as one, our souls wide opening, and love is glistening in the room as we share the prayer of poetry, filling us with light. There were angels there that night, and the spark jumped.
Thanks very much, Sue. That's beautiful. So next we're gonna have this year's five-word queen, Marianne Smith, Dark Side's wife.
Where we live in Canterbury, in Kent, there are boards going up in open fields, meadowland, farmland, all announcing prestigious new development of so many houses. And this is my response to that, and it's called Rural Living. One last time before he leaves, Hare writes his name along the skyline. The twin strokes in the H of his ears, the cursive A of his pale brown face, the R in the resting in his resting rear legs, then a brief glimpse of the sans serif E of his neat white tail, and he is gone. A cloud of purple quaking grass lies adrift like a piece of fallen dust, and with its final breath speaks in a shiver of whispers through the fescue and timothy, canary grass and cat's tail, cock's foot, dog's wheat, holy grass, and hare's tail. In a blur of striated moth wings, the lark rises, following Icarus' flight path to the sun. Answering the call of the void, he offers up one last high-pitched, unbroken chant for his old territory as it disappears beneath him, falling away to lawns and a new order. They don't have to spell it out, but of course they do. This is, after all, what they call rural living, this uniform coexistence, marked out in lines of freshly sprung up signs, all neatly labelled and site appropriate. Skylark Heights, Old Meadow Way, Hare Court.
So next, can we have Patricia Walsh, please?
Thank you. This is called Phantom Pregnancy. This is a Devil Handbook, harder than flint. History being blamed for all sorts of nonsense. Not fixing the present, fleeting though it is. The life in retrospect never justifying the means. Defending the people from a solid future. Too complicated for dismissal, amidst the boiling. Crude jokes having limits, law abiding. New present goes and magnifies the Lord. Good for nothing is doing nothing, just as do. Suddenly wanting children from an unknown source. These things get tiresome, albeit under license. Under guarantee still, many forays abide. Drink under the heater makes a declaration. Not a sink under medication, please God. Don't be inevitable despite advice. Defending the impossible, the only course of action. Never plagiarized despite one's best efforts. The neutral cost of heart and things abide. Enduring love, rebuffed for a better fruit. Land of troubles, cauterized in tandem. A dodgy culture, almost setting the autumn fire. Quieted by defense, retiring to unbearer. The little black book denying culture and objects. Your magnum opus on terror is on its way. Forever modernizing its own kind of grief. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And next, can we have Charles Clark, please?
Round of applause, please. Tournament, the horses contended. The Marquis was there, Duke of Leinster's son, and they bowed and scraped. Then came the announcement. Captain Ian Hume Dudgeon, smooth pacer. He had invented the poorer seat. I followed our judge. Captain, imagine. Continued, we went home to tea in the 60s.
Thank you, Charles. can we now have Rab Urquhart, please?
I love the Urquhart.
What is it?
Going on a tizzy, working and busy alone. Boy on the corner, inclined to wander alone. But will true love conquer as feelings grow stronger? Both get warmer, no longer alone.
Thanks, Rob Urquhart. Can we now have Philip Spillane, please?
So it's a work in progress. I don't want to give too much context of what inspired this, but I want to give a quick background that I had to dig this out. So like, Nurdle, I think that's how you pronounce it. So apparently in some part of Wales, Nurdles have been raining from the skies. And what a Nurdle is a small piece of microscopic plastic. It's what's used to make large plastic. It's also been raining in South Africa, so it's even falling from the skies, plastic. So that's a bit mad. So this is a piece of science fiction poetry based when they dig me up. I was planning to do this in season, so I still have the word autumn here, so I'm going to keep that title, autumn. I was buried in transparency. Sauropod cranes would have steepled here against industrial blackened sky. The sandy beach was fertilized in aluminium and deformed plastic temples, swallowed up by emerald-stained waves. Above, someone punctured holes in all the black bags stuffed with cotton nimbus, littering thousands of pied nurdles, hailing toxic coughing sandstorms, mummifying me in alchemy of refined petroleum. I would have inhaled slow doses of ethane and digested polyethylene, causing my organs to shrivel up, to be sculptured like a jellyfish floating in the skin of the sea. Carry me out in the tide within the plastic sarcophagus. Once we were all buried like this, it was like an artistic graveyard on a polykinfilm ocean. Our soil horizon was spoiled with landfills built on bricks of fossilized lunchboxes. The archaeologists who dug us up prized me as a specimen on the polymer age. Our words were written on silicon tablet chips, slated in servers, but our power, they are hollow. So yes, the digital age was a mirage, as much as the Renaissance was an age closest to God. I lived and died picking Cadbury snack wrappers from ash trees, like I was taking a thorn from its roots, saying I was doing my bit. Wow. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Philip.
Work in progress, thank you.
Beautiful work in progress. Next, can we have, all the way from London, Platon, please?
Your thoughts align and disalign, like grains of sand rolled out on a beach for all the miles you can think. Your thoughts align and disalign like the space between each. Something else beats and expands in the dark. Huge hearts, lungs, and intestines rolled up. Internal organs pulse amongst juices. Heavy skulls turn slowly one side and then the other. Stretching skins which could spread out like maps of all the oceans and seas for many of the many miles you can think. These are not really metaphors. On the beach of your thoughts, huge animals dwell, and beneath the subterraneans. The whales are stranded on the thin strand of sand between the two seas. This is their last breath of dust. From the dark room, you can hear their hearts pulsing slowly and slower, then dying. The dark juices turn into song. The lions are racing on the long strand of sand rolled out like a bow. They're as big as whales, but mad and alive. Biting into the flesh of each other, pushing and pulling and rolling in fight. From the dark room, you can hear their tearing and loving, then resting. The wounds turn into song. The elephants are dancing unspeakably, their feet as big as the lions, move slowly, one side to the other. They're waving their trunks, turning their skulls, dancing in circles around the newborns, dancing in circles around the dying, dancing around the lions and whales. The sand swirls in the center, rises and falls into song. Your thoughts drip from the ceiling above your head, small mountains of grains of sand on the floor, in the dark room, you know, the song of time encircles the songs of desire and death. Everyone is kneeling in the subterraneans. Everyone is praying in the dark room. Prayers grow into songs, and songs grow like mushrooms, upwards and tall, upwards and blind. The room is as full as you can imagine. Eyes are closed, hands are open. The child lays down and looks up. Things eat themselves, he says in a loop. You're afraid of the child. Close your eyes and swear you won't look at the ceiling. Please, oh please, come join me in the dark room. Songs grow like mushrooms. Imagine this is a metaphor. Come kneel in the dark. Melt into song. Be with me. Don't look up.
This is a non-sequence one. I want to buy you a drink in that bar at the end of Time and Space, next to the very last supernova. Imagine it. Just the two of us in there, behind the bar, pouring the drinks ourselves. All the furniture has fallen apart, and there are photographs of what used to be the regulars taped on the mirror behind the rows of bottles. We are cosmonauts, explorers on vacation. 2. A kimono opens with a soft tug. Sugar and honey are both sweet, but in different ways. You steal a kiss and build a cathedral on it. I had a conversation with you in my head that did not go well. Everything has unintended consequences. 3. We're in a spaceship, no crew. If we take Ram on board, it's a pirate ship. If the spaceship can travel at the speed of light, we can go anywhere, we can even go back. If the spaceship can travel faster than light, it can be a time machine. 4. On the inside of my chest cavity, there is sawdust that was never cleaned. 5. It makes a sound when it accelerates. It binds the stars around us in a spell of linear lights. You can't make it out, and before you know it, you can't make out anything at all. Like a constant voice in your head that always sings me to sleep. 6. This life is not for people who survived Woodstock. We should at least taken that road trip across the West. 7. I'm sorry for saying the things I said when I was in love with you. I'm all better now. 8. A man walks into a bar. You think it's a joke, but this man is looking for someone at this bar. Instead, all he finds is us.
Mm-hmm. very much, Elisa. And next, can we have Elaine Lombard, please?
I bought a book. I had a piece of paper. And now I have a book.
That's how it starts.
Thanks.
Sounds good to me.
I'm still in baby stages and I'm gradually trying to produce work, so here it goes. This is called Under the Tree, and I happen to be sitting with the two youngest in my family, and it was a busy day, and it was a sunny day in Kinsale, and I could see the sea, and everybody was walking past, and I happened to sit in a wall under a tree with my two youngest, and I couldn't believe the conversations that they started having and the stories they were telling me as people were walking by, and it was kind of like a moment. And with the busyness of everything and the routine of our days, I think we're going too fast, and these are little moments that are important. So I called it Under the Tree. Sitting with the youngest in the family, enjoying their company, taken from the routine of the day, how they all express themselves when we slow down and listen. At this moment near the sea where the sun glistens, their internal stories are recalled, whether past or present, they unfold, worth its time and gold. How the years go swiftly by, but their opportunity to fly the coop will come. We will welcome this as a job well done, or perhaps a tear in our eye for the unconditional well of love will never dry. Equally for our loved ones beyond the sky.
So next, can we have John Horan, please?
I'm going to read a poem I wrote, and then I'm going to read a just weird discussion with a guy I just met. But I'm going to read a poem by a really obscure poet from the 19th century called Francis Thompson. I'll explain a bit about him when I get to his one. But this is my one, and to seeing all kind of things, but it's called A Soul Machine, and it's about my mind, which doesn't work for anyone. It's a pain in the arse, really, but what can you do? So, here it goes. Sometimes I think I'm an angel, sometimes I think I'm a demon, but I'm not. I'm something in between, something resembling a human being, a human feeling, a human thinking. It's the last part that's the hardest. I wish I could turn off my thoughts and remain conscious. That would be nirvana for me. The mechanics of my mind can't turn off even though they're broken, churning out thoughts from this clapped out engine. God give me cruise control and automatic braking, so I can just sit and watch the scenery. It's all so beautiful and it's all a part of me. But I miss the good stuff 10 times out of 20, because this old machine don't run right, and nobody's sure how to fix it, but everybody's got advice. Gotta keep her running though, we just go on and on and on. I feel sure it's worth it now. I've got some faith to fix it. And even if not, there's still the scenery, which I remember to notice 10 times out of 20. The glass is half full and I'm going to drink it till it's empty. Cheers.
John, we're running a little lot short on time, and we just want to get everyone in. But thank you, thanks for John. So next, can we have Martin Morrissey, please?
Hi everyone, I just went to see the Go-Betweens tonight, my favourite bands, and I felt very inspired by just seeing them, and I just feel good tonight. So there's a poem in my head I had for a long time. And it goes, I toss and I turn, and I howl at the moon, and I squinch in my windows in the mid-afternoon. Of God's forgotten,
I will deem this distraction. I'll engage again, open the bottle again, and grease the wheels of old ideals set sail on the seas of gods forgotten. Like a fish out of water, a pirate on land, a lamb to the slaughter, the last waltz of the band. But as a brother of the moon, I got all the time. I'm on her side, and she's on mine. Painting cobblestone streets from my cobblestone mind. The cracks in the pavement are the cracks in my mind.
Thanks very much, Martin. Can we have Joe Scheffer?
Poem called Sleeping with the Dictionary. I beg to dicker with my silver-tongued companion, whose lips are ready to read my shining gloss, a versatile partner, conversant and well-versed in the verbal art. The dictionary is not averse to the solitary habits of the curiously wide-awake reader. In the dark night's insomnia, the book is a stimulating sedative, awakening my tired imagination in the hypergogic trance of language. Retiring to the canopy of the bedroom, turning on the bedside light, taking the big dictionary to bed, clutching the unabridged bulk, heavy with the weight of all the meanings between those covers, smoothing the thin sheets, thick with accentuated syllables, all are exercises in the conscious regimen of dreamers who toss words on their tongues while turning illuminated pages. To go through all these motions, and word is the poet's nocturnal mission. Aroused by myriad possibilities, we try out the most perverse positions in the practice of our nightly act, the penetration of a denotative body of the work. Any exit from the logic of language might be an entry in a symptomatic dictionary. The alphabetic order of this ample block of knowledge might render a dense lexicon of lucid hallucinations. Beside the bed, a pad lies, open to record the meandering and migratory words. In the rapid eye movement of the poet's night vision, this dictum can be decoded like the secret acrostic of a lover's name.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. Next, can we have Chris Parker?
Christy
Parker. Big round of applause for Christy.
It's a poem I read about every 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. And the title will explain that to you. It's called The Candidate. Sad to say, it's kind of based on fact. A little bit of truth in this, but don't let it get to you. The Candidate. I was coming home from a trip to the shops, free-range eggs, 2 pork chops. Out of the shadows, a strange man pops, crosses my path, and then he stops, and he says, "Hey, it is great to meet you, sir. It's a powerful day, but then again, sure, we all hope for the best, so the best may occur. Do you know who I am?" he inquired with a purr. I was set to reply, but he'd not finished yet as he reached for my hand, and I knew from the sweat as his palm pressed on mine that we'd live to regret that this man and this grin and I should have met. He was quick to denote we were in the same boat, so here was he hoping I'd give him my vote. I was glad it was my hand and it wasn't my throat when he tightened his squeeze as he said, and I quote, "I'm left and I'm right and I'm a centralist. I'm a conservative kind of a liberalist. I'm a socialist and a capitalist. I'm a Marxist with a shopping list." I'm a pessimist and an optimist, a realist but an idealist. I'm a Christian kind of an atheist. I'm a Muslim with a Catholic twist. I'm a pacifist, but you see this fist, I'll use to fight for your right to exist on whatever you want as long as it fits. I'm all things to all men, if you've got a right gist. I silently prayed for him to desist. His policies that he would have me embrace would end parking on pavements, put cork into space. For he winked as he whispered at a plan put in place to launch the first yawl man into deep space. He'd step up to the plate for the homeless crisis, building 10 homes an hour at affordable prices, while CCTV and such clever devices would save us from burglars, drunk women and ISIS. He would work to ensure more Gardaí on the beat. He'd stand up for the workers once he'd had a seat. He'd abolish dog fouling from under our feet, and honey would flow from gold taps on the street. He'd fill potholes, fill wallets, fill farms out as well. He'd stop flooding going forward and eliminate hell. He'd cure cancer by Friday, from what I could tell, once given the mandate to practice his spell. I remember, I said as I watched his hopes rise. I remember this night, for now I am wise. First preference, he grinned with delight in his eyes as I lifted my head and gazed at the skies. I remember, I said, my voice slow and sincere, this night that you stopped for a word in my ear. For I never forget that you knocked my eggs clear, and they're smashed on the ground by your pigsy prick of a fucking career. Thank you. You can spoil your voice.
That was brilliant, Christy. Thanks very much. And closing our evening, we have Ciarán McCarty.
Don't be coming at me unless you're coming merchant edition, with eyes wide, glistening ears ready to listen to basic truths about the pile we went through. We haven't seen you, heard from you, worked a few steady hours to see the reflection of our minds connecting task to task, obsession to learn the new lesson. You messing. Sit back flat and trade that for covert aggression. My patience you're testing. Don't have me quote Curtis about the dangers of throwing stones resident in the glass house. Holding me to account from this place in my mouth, man, you used to sleep on the couch in my mum and dad's house. Do you remember that gaff? Haven't you grown up fast? Are you having a laugh, treating me like I'm half daft? What earned you a sleeping disorder? Wondering how long the wrath of the tongue lasts? Oh well, it's in order to sort of listen, Finn, we're past that. We're not down the mat, back in maths class. This isn't fucking school. I think I'm here to take this half-assed that your 40% will be air as good as thinking you'd be at the wing to wear prayer. Hello, hello, hello. No, you're not even there. And oh, let's go, I suppose. What's wonderful is rare. The fact that he's here shows how much he cares. Oh, any minute now, I'll swear, living off your flair with nose in the air. What's the scapegoat you wear? Drifting off into the distance, reminiscing the way you've been handled is unfair. Excuse me, where? Trying to sleep beneath the stairs, screaming, we are unprepared. 16-hour days, no solid wage, but at a good age, showtime, T-minus 2 days. Think of me as your little cabbage patch, when your net's got an itch to scratch, wondering where I'm at. Weren't you just a cat, the way you laugh like that? Cute, cuddly, warm, vicious little brat. I'm calling this damn Pat. When you're walking the streets some night, no class in your act. Off your own volition from a factory of facts. You pose your own position, commence, attack, comment, fall back, listen for impact. And I know we inhabit planet PC, but between you and me, I must concede that you'd be wrong to believe that I'm above seeing you on the street and leaving you in a heap, laughing as you bleed, tasting your own teeth. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming, and thank you, Ciarán. So I'd just like to say that we're going to be going over to Maine's if you want to have some drinks after. But I'd like you to just all give one big round of applause again to our guest poet, Derek Stelling. And this year's Five Word Challenge winner, Amelia Smith.